1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd be pleased to grant your grace as we look into this particular text. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've been in somewhat of a quandary as how exactly to begin the message this morning, which has to do with temptation and testing and the faithfulness of God in the midst of temptation and testing. I thought about saying, well, as I observe the congregation, I see that various ones have indeed gone through various trials and tests. We know this is the case by virtue of age. For one thing, various ones of us have recently been in the hospital. One of our ladies, I said to her as I visited with her in the hospital, you know, you're exactly in the same room that another one of our ladies was in, and I don't like this. You know, you can't be taking turns and just continuing to occupy this same room in this fashion. This is the fact of the matter. We are faced with various physical maladies, and we all know that this is the case. And then I thought about one of the trials that I had early on in my Christian life. I went to a retreat, and I was encouraged to go to this retreat shortly after I had come to faith in Christ. And the retreat master, lo and behold, was a Unitarian. This was in the Army, and it was a military situation, and the retreat master was an Army chaplain who happened to be a Unitarian. And he sat with us in the retreat and said, well, you know, I can't really believe in the virgin birth and the fact that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, and I really can't believe in the literal resurrection of Christ. And here I was, a brand new Christian, and I was stunned. I really was. And I remember very well going to the chapel on the retreat grounds that evening and kneeling down in that chapel and saying, Lord, I know what took place in my life was very real. And when I saw the gospel in the scriptures and when I trusted Jesus Christ, something happened. Something took place. The burden of sin was taken away. Now I'm faced with this. What am I to believe? What am I to believe? You're going to have to come to my aid here. You're going to have to come to my aid because this is a serious challenge all of a sudden in my faith. I was tested, and counseling came very rapidly because that very evening my roommate at the retreat grounds was another Christian man who was older than myself, and so we were able to talk through some of these things. We are all tested and tried in various ways. And the text which is before us speaks of these testings and trials. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way to escape, that you may be able to endure it. I say at the head of the outline, God displays His faithfulness to you in not only permitting trials and testing, but in reining them in to fit your strength, and also fitting you to prove your faith through them. I think this is very significant. Beyond all doubt, trials and testings do overtake you and me. And it's interesting the way the text is worded. No temptation has overtaken you. It's not that you just encounter temptations and trials. The wording is very specific. No trial, no temptation takes you, overtakes you. And we know this as well as we are sitting here this morning, that when situations come upon us in this life, whether it has to do with a physical malady or whether it has to do with a work situation, we are often faced in those situations with something which has overtaken us and over which we have little or no control. Isn't that the case? It's as though all of a sudden we are enveloped in this situation and we are asking the question which so many ask, why? What's happened here? The words temptation or trial or testing have to do with God's trying us, proving us, testing us. And that's really the essence of the word. I'd like you to turn to a couple of different places in Scripture. Turn back in your Bibles, if you would, with me, please, to the little book of James and a couple of familiar verses. James chapter 1 and verse 2. You'll remember this verse right away. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Right? Consider it joyful when the test comes. Count it joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Here is a situation in which a trial, a testing, is brought along, and we are to count it joy, and we are to let that testing improve our patience, improve our endurance. That's part of it. Remember the patience of Job? Then verse 12 in James 1. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The trials are efforts at proving us, tempering us, making us better. As silver or gold or other precious metal is put to the fire, and the fire burns off the dross, and the purity shines forth. We just read from Deuteronomy chapter 10, and if you look back there at a couple of verses in Deuteronomy chapter 10, Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, and you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Why did God take the people of Israel through the wilderness? It was a time of testing. Verse 16, in the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you, to do good to you in the end. Why did God take the people of Israel into the wilderness? They could have made it to the promised land in 3 days, yet they spent 40 years making that 3-day journey. Absolutely phenomenal. It was a time of testing. Why does God not take us, once we are converted to faith in Jesus Christ, why does God not take us directly to heaven? Why do we live in this life for a period of years as believers? It's a time of testing and proving. It's similar to the wilderness experience through which the children of Israel were taken by the living God, so that our faith may be proved. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, once again. There is no temptation overtaken you but such as is common to man. Here is great comfort. No trial or test comes to you which is not common to your lot as a member of fallen humanity. As a member of the human race, nothing comes to you which is not common in humanity. Often the question is asked, why does this take place? Why was there this robbery? Why was this young woman raped? Why was there this murder? Why? Part of the answer is simply this, folks, that we happen to live in and amongst a fallen human race. And the outworkings of sin is real. That's all there is to it. Why is there disease in the world? It's incipient death. Why do we experience these things? The wages of sin is death. That's the bottom line. And there is nothing which befalls us which is not common to humanity in this condition. There is nothing new under the sun, says the writer to Ecclesiastes. And Paul is telling us that we ought to take some comfort from this fact. He is telling us that there are others who have gone through the same thing, the same trial, the same testing that we have gone through, despite the fact that we might think that we're absolutely unique in our situation. It's not true, is it? It really isn't. And we ought to take some comfort from that, and we ought to understand that we can talk to others about it and receive comfort and counsel in the midst of that trial or temptation. Let's go on in our text. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. That's the wonderful thing. And that's what we finally zero in on. God is faithful in the midst of every trial, temptation, and difficulty. Is this not the case? Look at our text once again. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. God is faithful. He permits you to be tempted and tried. Catch this, folks. You know, our first inclination, our first thought is, God permits these things. Why? Well, we ought to grasp the fact that it is God who is in control. God allows these things. This word allow or permit is used very infrequently in Scripture. One of the places that it's used is in the Gospels, and Jesus Christ uses it. Permit the little children to come to me, Jesus said. It's the same word. Allow or permit. God permits the trial, the temptation. Remember Job once again? How the devil went before God and said to God, your servant Job, Lord, your servant Job, let me go down and work on him. He'll turn away from you. And God said, you can go down, but I'm putting a hedge around what you can do. You can go thus far and no further, devil. And that's exactly how God operates. You see, we do not live in an ultimately dualistic universe where God and the devil are on equal footing. The novels of Stephen King are very popular these days, and movies are being made from his novels. A lot of people like them. Evil is a prominent theme in these novels and in these movies. Indiscriminate evil. Evil which has no bounds. It's not so in the real universe. God is in control. See, this is the point. When Peter was about to be tempted and then subsequently denied Jesus Christ three times, Jesus said to Peter, "The devil is seeking to sift you like wheat, Peter, but I am praying for you." The greatest thing that we can have is the prayers of the Savior. The greatest hedge against the work of the devil is the prayers of Jesus Christ. And He is on the throne sitting presently interceding for the saints. The devil is not in control. It is the living God who is in control. Look at our text once again. "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted beyond what you are able." God is faithful in that He is under control. He is the one who opens the door and closes the door. He permits you to be tempted, tried, and proved. God is faithful. He does not permit you to be tempted or tried above your own God-given personal ability. See, this is one of the significant things that comes out of our text. "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." The word which is translated "able" is the word which is translated "power" many places in the New Testament. It is the word from which we get our English word "dynamite." In other words, the power of God at work in the believer is dynamic power. Power which comes from the Spirit of God. Power which gives us ability. And we are not tested above the ability which God gives. This is the point. We are not tested above the ability which God gives through His grace. You remember Paul? Paul, who was tried by this thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to the Lord how many times? Three, the Bible tells us. And what was the answer? "My grace is sufficient." Right? "My grace is sufficient for you. That which I give you to enable you to handle the temptation is sufficient." This is what God tells us. I want to read to you a little excerpt from C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, which I think is pertinent at this point. "Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. After all, you find out the strength of the German army by fighting against it." C.S. Lewis wrote during the Second World War. "After all, you find out the strength of the German army by fighting against it, not by giving in. You find out the strength of the wind by trying to walk against it, not by lying down. A man who gives in to temptation after 5 minutes simply does not know what it would have been like an hour later. That is why bad people, in one sense, know very little about badness. They have lived a sheltered life by always giving in. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we try to fight it. And Christ, because He was the only man who ever yielded to temptation, is also the only man who knows to the full what temptation means. The only complete realist." I think C.S. Lewis is right. that when temptation comes, when trial comes, you don't have any idea how strong that temptation is until you push all the way through that temptation to the end of it. And you have no idea how great the grace of God is until you push all the way through that temptation to the very end of it. And for this reason, Jesus Christ is the only human who has ever experienced temptation to the full. It's very interesting. And He pushed through to the very end. Some folks say, you know, how is it that Jesus Christ could have really been tempted? Well, here's an explanation. And who else knows the full extent of the grace of our great God than Jesus Christ, the very Son of God? And He is our chief example, and we are to follow in His footsteps. And if God's grace, dear friends, is sufficient, and God will not permit us to be tempted above that which we are able, we ought to make it a sincere goal to push through in the trials of life to the very end. It's a very common thing, is it not, that when elderly folks become ill, that they throw in the towel on life? I think this is a mistake. And I urge you to disregard such notions. Because when you determine to push through to the end, you will know the grace of God far better. This is true with ministers too. At a meeting just this week, I said to some of my fellow ministers, I think in the last year I've probably thrown in the towel 10 times for various reasons. And many of us could say the same thing about our employments or school. But what are we told in this text? Read it again. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. God will never give you more than you can bear. But God will indeed stretch you and me to the limit of what He knows is proper in order to prove the depth and the sincerity of your faith and my faith in Him. What else does the text tell us? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also. Too often we look at that text and we are looking for the way out. The word which is translated escape might probably better be translated the end. You know, like the light at the end of the tunnel? I think that's really the emphasis here. It's not that we are given a way to get out of the situation that we are in, but God is taking us literally through it, and He's giving us the strength to do it. This is what the text is telling us. But with the temptation provides the end, the way to the end. He gives great wisdom. He gives counsel. And there is always wisdom in a multitude of counselors. It's always better if we don't try to go it alone. It's always better if we attempt to talk to people who have gone through the same situation we are facing. It's the sort of thing, it seems to me, that Paul is talking about here. And finally, God is faithful, I say in the fifth point, He provides a way to the end of the trial or temptation. And in the sixth point, God is faithful. He provides this way to the end of the trial or temptation that you may be able to bear up under it. The word which is translated endure is really the word which means to bear a burden, to carry something forward, to bear up under the trial which is given. And you know what it means to bear up something? It's like when you're on that bench and there's 250 pounds on the bar and you have to push up on that bar to do the exercise, and you bear up that burden, and you are exercised and strengthened as you do it. And it's the same thing in the spiritual realm, folks. It really is. Please turn with me now to the book of Philippians. And I want you to see a couple of things that the Apostle Paul tells us in this regard. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12, 13, and 14. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God is at work in you. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Thus says the Lord God Almighty. I'm glad that He says that. And you know what the biggest problem of the Israelites was when they were in their journey in the wilderness? What was their biggest problem? They grumbled, didn't they? They repeatedly grumbled. Every time something came up, they grumbled. And very often we say to ourselves, well, if we were without water, we would grumble too. If we were without food like the Israelites, we would grumble too. What's the first example which the Apostle Paul gives concerning the working out of our salvation? Look at verse 14 in Philippians 2. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Isn't that how we ought to live? Yes, I think it is. And then there is chapter 4. A particular verse which we often look at. Chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Let's look briefly at the context of this particular verse. Verse 10 and following. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak from want,
For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of going hungry and of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can learn to be content in any circumstance. Whether it's a circumstance in which I am deprived of what I deem essential, or whether I am lavished with special gifts, I can learn to be content. God's grace is sufficient. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is no temptation which comes to me which is not common to the lot of humanity. And God is faithful, dear friends, who will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way through that we may be able to bear it. You see how wonderful God is, how faithful God is. That should be our perspective. And I hope that as we face this coming week, we may see, as God applies this particular text in our lives, we may see that God is faithful in all that He does with us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this particular text. Thank You that You are pleased to instruct us through it. Grant that we might be so instructed by You. In Jesus' name.